Harper Audio presents Frozen in Time, an epic story of survival and a modern quest for lost heroes of World War II by Mitchell Zuckoff. This is the author. Prologue, The Duck, November 1942. On Thanksgiving Day 1942, at a secret U.S. Army base on the ice-covered island of Greenland, a telegraph receiver clattered to life. Situation grave, a very sick man, hurry. The message came from the crew of a crashed B-17 bomber, 9 American airmen whose enemy had become the ruthless Arctic. 2.5 weeks earlier, while searching for a missing cargo plane, the crew's Flying Fortress had slammed against a glacier in a blinding storm. Since then, the men had huddled in the bomber's broken-off tail section, a cramped cell in a prison of sub-zero cold, howling winds and driving snow. Guarding them on all sides were crevasses, deep gashes in the ice that threatened to swallow them whole. Some crevasses were hidden by flimsy ice bridges, each one like a rug thrown over the mouth of a bottomless pit. One crew member had already fallen through an ice bridge. Another struggled to keep from losing his mind. A third, the very sick man, watched helplessly as his frozen feet shriveled and turned reddish-black, the gruesome signature of flesh-killing gangrene. Their only hope was that someone would answer their distress calls, tapped out in Morse code over a battered transmitter rebuilt by their young radio operator. His frozen fingers curled in pain each time he hit the telegraph key. Dot, 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 dash, dot, dash, dot, H-U-R-R-Y. 3 days later, in the pre-dawn darkness of November 29th, 1942, John Pritchard Jr. and Benjamin Bottoms lay sleeping in their bunks aboard the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Northland. The ship rocked gently at anchor in an inlet on Greenland's southeastern coast, a place known to the Americans as Comanche Bay. As the United States neared the end of its first year in World War II, the Northland and other ships on the Greenland patrol kept a lookout for German subs, ferried soldiers and civilians to U.S. bases, and watched for icebergs in shipping lanes. But when the need arose, they set aside routine jobs for their highest calling, rescue work. They risked their lives and their ships to save sailors lost at sea and airmen whose planes had crashed on the huge, largely uncharted island. Other military branches were America's swords and spears. The Coast Guard was its shield. John Pritchard and Ben Bottoms embodied that mission as pilot and radio man of the Northland's amphibious plane, a flying boat called a Grumman Duck. The downed cargo plane that had set the search effort in motion remained lost, each day bringing its 5 crew members closer to death by cold, starvation, or both. But the 9 marooned men of the B-17 bomber crew had been spotted, about 30 miles from Comanche Bay as the duck flies. The question was how to rescue them from a glacier booby-trapped with crevasses. John Pritchard had an answer. His plan had worked once already, and he intended to put it, along with himself, Ben Bottoms, and their duck, to a far greater test this day. Pritchard and Bottoms scrambled out of their bunks and into their flight suits, insulated shells that discouraged the cold but couldn't defeat it. After a fortifying breakfast, they climbed into the duck's tight tandem cockpit. Pritchard, 28 years old, an ambitious lieutenant from California, sat up front at the controls. Bottoms, 29, a skilled radio man first class from Georgia, sat directly behind him. Fur-lined leather helmets sat snug on their buzz-cut heads. Goggles shielded their eyes. Heavy gloves held their hands. As they belted themselves in, Pritchard and Bottoms could glance west to see the deceptively beautiful island, a massive white moonscape left over from the last ice age. Beyond a fringe of gray-black rock at the coastline lay hundreds of thousands of square miles of unbroken frost. If they had had time for reflection, the contrast between Greenland's enormous ice cap and their peculiar little plane might have inspired an adaptation of the Irish fisherman's prayer, "Dear God, be good to me. The sea is so wide and my boat is so small." If Pritchard or Bottoms had doubts, neither showed it. To the contrary, their Northland crewmates thought the duck's masters appeared eager to get going. In fact, they moved with purpose bordering on urgency. The sun shone for fewer than 5 hours a day this time of year near the Arctic Circle, and the 2 Coast Guard airmen hoped to make not one but 2 round trips between the ship and the B-17 crew before darkness returned. Adding to their rush as well as their risk, the weather was deteriorating. Snow was falling and a veil of fog was closing in. At 8 o'clock in the morning, visibility was a generous 20 miles. Soon it would be less than 4 miles. By noon, the snowstorm would be in full force and the sky would be a grayish-white shroud. Visibility would be less than 1 mile and dropping fast. The duck hung from heavy ropes suspended over the Northland's deck. The ropes supporting the duck were attached to a sturdy steel pole called a boom. At Pritchard's signal, the Northland's crew swung that boom out over the ship's side to lower the plane and its men into the frigid bay. The ropes unspooled, their pulleys rattling with complaint as the duck moved foot by foot closer to the greenish water. Pritchard and Bottom steadied themselves as the duck splashed down next to the ship, then bobbed like its feathered namesake. It was 9:15 a.m.